Hello and welcome to the newest episode of GameScore, only on RiotRadio.ca and all of our other websites that we have affiliations with. Today I am joined by resident Doom expert, Dan McAnally. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
I'm happy to have you here. You know a lot more about this than I do. We're talking about Doom today, obviously. And I don't know what to say. It's Doom. It speaks Doom for itself. There's lots to say in the script, and I know you have your script as well.
I have some notes.
Yeah, and you know more about this, but let's just jump into it to start. The first 3D game, but not really 3D.
Yep.
I wanted to put a clip in. If you play Doom 2016 and you do the levels, like the retro levels,
yep.
If you walk around fast enough, you can see the 2D models following you.
Yes, you can.
Which is
fantastic.
Pretty interesting because it's not 3D, it's 2D.
Yep.
And I would say it's probably the first ever game to really spark a first-person shooter game, FPS.
I think there's a couple of first-person shooters before, but this revolutionized it, changed it, made it what it is today.
Yeah.
Can we talk about your intro?
Yes.
The intro.
I guess I should talk about that. Yeah, thank you. I made that. I made that. All by my own. Thank you. I completely missed right. How could I not? It's so good. I love it. I'm so happy. So the intro, which is fantastic, is all clips from my Xbox because you can just screen capture it. So I just screen captured everything, which I think legally it's not a copyright infringement.
Nope. I think you're allowed to screen capture.
God. And GameScore logo, which Dan made. So thank you very much.
Awesome.
Yeah. And let's talk about Doom then.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Doom. And would you say it's incorrect to say that ID Software's engine revolutionized video games?
Yeah, I think, obviously Doom 2, Quake all come off of those early engines. Yeah. I think they inspired the Unreal engine, which Unreal Tournament, obviously, yep. Which a lot of games are still made off of. But yeah, absolutely. I think those engines were used to kind of start all the first-person shooters and all the spin-offs, which we have today.
Yeah, and I think with it, you told me before the show that Medal of Honor,
yep,
Half-Life, and Call of Duty
off the early engines of the id Software,
which is wild. So I have a timeline of the Doom games. We're only really going to talk about Doom.
Yep.
Doom 2016.
Yep.
And Doom Eternal.
Yep.
Which I haven't played. And that's
we're going to forget everything else in between.
We don't talk about that. But Doom came out in 93.
So 1993.
Four years before I was born.
Yep.
I know.
Suck it into this.
I know. But it's wild. Like, look, you look back, yep, at it took, so it goes 93, 94, 95,
yep,
96, 97, nothing. 2004, yep, so yes, 7 years. 2005, 2009,
yep,
and then 10, 12, 16, 17, and so it goes Doom 2016, which, yep, is just called Doom.
Yep,
Doom.
Kind of a reboot.
Yeah, and then the Doom VFR,
yep,
which I didn't even know about.
Which a lot of people really didn't, wild, unless you had one of those Oculus.
Yeah. And then, so Sigil, which, yep, is like kind of the unofficial fifth episode of the original Doom.
It's kind of an unofficial follow-up to part two.
Okay.
So thinking of the original series, which, yeah, is something the horror community likes to do a lot with the Halloween movies, yep, and Scream and stuff. But
Sigil looks a lot different than Doom.
Yes.
It's very witchy. It's got yep, a pentagram and a goat skull on,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, a lot more demonic and, yeah, dark, yeah, but it's supposed to technically be a Doom 3 official.
Okay. And then 2020, Doom Eternal, which looks amazing. Doom 64, The Lost Levels, came out that same year.
Yep.
And then The Ancient Gods Part 1 for Doom Eternal came out later that year as, yep, well. And then Ancient Gods Part 2 came out in 2021.
Yep.
And then the Mighty Doom mobile game, which
we're not going to talk about that one.
I think they're kind of using it to, yeah, there's that, another mobile game that I didn't know about, and an RPG called, mm-hmm, Doom, Doom Resurrection.
Yep.
And then Resurrection of Evil, it's Doom 3, but then Doom RPG is just called Doom RPG.
Yep.
And then Sigil 2 might come out this year, might come out next year.
Sigil 2 is coming out later this year, yeah, next year. And let's not forget, earlier this year, we got Doom Guy in Fortnite,
which is
some people happy about, some people not.
Fortnite gets away with so much.
Yes.
Because you have Geralt of Rivia.
Yep.
Master Chief.
Yep.
Doom Guy. The Power Rangers.
The Gears of War guy.
Gears of Star Wars.
Yep.
I think I hated Fortnite because of what it turned into for a while. Mm-hmm. But now it's just revolutionizing. You can play as Goku and fight Thanos.
Permanently Doom Guy in Fortnite. Yeah. So.
And so in so don't play Fortnite.
Yep.
In Fortnite with the skins.
Yes.
What kind of, like, what if you get the Doom thing, I'm assuming it was like a mastery, you had to go through it and complete
things? Yeah, I think you had to get up to a certain number of levels. I think it was level 100 in that season, and you got the Doom guy skin. But then if you got up to higher levels, you unlocked, there was a black one, a white one, there was like the original like kind of brown Doom Marine skin, and then you could unlock some other stuff as well. There was the Cacodemon to fly in on. You could unlock I think it was Rip and Tear. Is like your menu music and your sound music.
That's so cool.
And then one of the emotes was from your intro when the Doom guy fist pumps the little mini Doom guy doll. So,
and I want to mention that too, because like that was, so when you if you play the first level, when you first play Doom 2016, you if you find the only one there, he doesn't fist pump it originally. In the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I only found the one.
So when you finish going into that first big battle room, and you're jumping on the boxes and you go through the fence, and then you're going through the rocks and you go through like a little corridor, there's a little spot that goes off to a ledge, and there's one other mini Doom doll in that first level.
Okay,
so the first level, and there's also a lever near the start.
I missed the lever to open,
so the lever
door
opens up
the retro level.
I think it's E2 M1. It's the room where there's the demons are on top of the thing and you have to press the buttons. But yeah, there's quite a few things in that first little mission there.
But he doesn't always fist pump them. That's the thing.
No, doesn't always fist pump
them. I think the one, the first one you pick up, he picks it up and he looks at it and he moves the arm, removes the hand, and then the fist pump is just iconic.
Yes, the fist pumps. Another one, I think he like pokes its stomach and it like kind of squeaks.
And they make this, they make the when you pick it up, like it just like the riff, which is so cool.
And it does that, so in Doom, in Fortnite, when you have the Doom guy and do your emote, he does the fist bump thing and does it. It's
which
pretty cool.
So, good.
So
So I guess like just back to what I have.
I
just said like Doom kind of opened the first. It was one of the first games you could have your friends over. And play in the living room, but also you could have your friends in their house or bring their computers over and do like a LAN party, which still happens to this
day. I think it came a few years after. I think like in 93, I was 10. I know you weren't born yet. I'm a little bit older. We had a neighbor. He worked in a computer software company. We had just got our first computer. I think it was like a Pentium 2 processor, like 486. Like it didn't do much of anything. And he came over one day and gave us this floppy disk and said, hey, you guys should try this out. At the time, we'd played like Wolfenstein 3D, which was also by id. I think we'd had like maybe the original Duke Nukem, which was like a left and right scroll game. And
which
other than
feels
that,
a
like,
lot like Doom as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So he gave us this disc. We put in the floppy disk, installed it. We had no idea what it was. There was no internet at this time. There was no like cool magazines or like Reddit forums. So we had no idea what it was. We put it in, installed it, and we were just blown away because this game looked like nothing that had ever been put out before. Everything was kind of left and right scroll, junky graphics, not really realistic. I know now you look at the original Doom and it doesn't look realistic, but back then it was like, it was mind-blowing. It was so violent and gory. There's a lot of controversy. I know, I think Germany banned the game. I think Japan banned the game as well because of the demonic and satanic imagery and a lot of the violence and the killing and stuff. But yeah, I was 10 and playing Doom for the first time. Pretty awesome.
And it's, I think that's the crazy thing. So Doom came out at a time when 21st century was only 7 years away. So it's pretty wild to think that like Doom came out and now look at video games now. And like, if Evan, if you can put up the Doom, just the Doom guy original logo, which is just him with like being grabbed by the demon and his like pistol. That's an iconic thing. That's iconic. Like you see that, that is Doom guy, right? And then you jump 23 years. And you get Doom Slayer, which is this hulking man with this crazy like sword, and he's got like the spike on his arm, and it's like a, again, that's 23 years.
And now 30 years later.
And
somehow Doom is still cool.
Doom is still cool. And I can see why though. Like if we're looking at like why Doom is cool, it inspired so much. So like we were talking about Doom mods as well. Doom mods, Bethesda does this a lot. My only problem with the Bethesda is when they have a mod that's really, really popular, they usually take it and monetize it and say, now you have to pay for it. But with the original Doom, those mods are all supported and free. The fact that they're free is fantastic. Like you can just load them up and play.
And unlike Nintendo, like I know Nintendo you couldn't get a Nintendo device. So there was no way up until now with Nintendo Switch and Nintendo Online to play Zelda or Tecmo Super Bowl, whatever Nintendo game that you love when you're younger. Id Software and Bethesda allowed the Doom community to do whatever they wanted to. They redid the music, they redid the games, they made new levels, they made ports. There was never lawsuits. They encouraged it. John Romero, who was one of the creators of the original game, he always played the ports, he played the mods, he encouraged people to play them. He praised Brutal Doom as better than the original game, and if they had the technology, and if they had the ability to do that back then, they would have, but it was a little bit too violent for back then. It probably would have got banned.
Yeah, I was going to say, everywhere, yeah, but, wouldn't made it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool what they've done, allowing their community to keep the game alive while there was that huge gap in between the games, like 2004 to 2015 or 16, there really wasn't a game.
No.
And the Doom community was kept alive by mods, so it's pretty cool.
Which is, again, that's what you want in a company.
Yeah,
you want somebody who says, like, yeah, this is amazing, I'm not gonna, like, okay, sue ya, get out of here, we don't want this. Because Brutal Doom, like, rebooted the franchise when they were still putting games out, but they just weren't doing anything. And, like, Brutal Doom introduced double jumping, I believe. Gory kills, which was, like, what transitioned into the glory kills in 2016. And it added in all kinds of, like, new guns, new ways to move. It was more fluid. And that's what you want. You want a game that you can come back to almost 20 years later. Actually, more than 20 years later. And it looks reminiscent of that retro style, but also it's so much more fun because now you can do more. That's the most annoying thing about Doom is you can't look up, or you can't look up and you can't jump.
But in the mods, you can, which is super awesome. So, but as we're here to talk about music, the Doom mods also allowed us to finally have real heavy metal music in the games. So the original games, obviously, there was floppy disks, there was no CD-ROMs, there was no music, so it was all MIDI score. So 1993 Doom was composed by Robert Prince. He came back and did Doom 2 as well in 1994. And Doom 64, which we are resident Evan here is a huge fan of. Aubrey Hodges did that. He tried to simulate the same thing. Nintendo 64, not being a CD, also had MIDI music, but it was a little more advanced. It wasn't until 2015, a Doom mod called IDKFA, Knee Deep in the Dead, which is the Doom cheat code, which gives you keys, firearms, and armor. Andrew Holschult put out this amazing soundtrack, heavy metal music, loud, the original Doom soundtrack, the way it was supposed to be heard. It became the official soundtrack for the Brutal Doom mod and became popular across all the mods. It's got millions of plays on YouTube. Doom didn't sue him. They allowed him to put it out. He didn't make any money off of it, but it did launch his career, which he'd go on to do other games such as Dusk, Proteus, a bunch of other games, and we'll talk later about some other games he did, but
So I think, with speaking of that though, so you heard one version of At Doom's Gate for the intro, but our first song is E1M1 At Doom's Gate, and we can just jump right into that. We'll be back after that song. Stay tuned for more Doom talk right here on GameScore, only at RiotRadio.ca. Hello and welcome back to GameScore on RiotRadio.ca and all of our other affiliations. So if Leanne watches this, she's not going to call me a liar. We're talking about Doom today, and I'm joined by Dan, our station manager.
Thank you.
Host, but I guess you're a host currently.
Yeah,
so. And we're talking Doom, because Dan knows a lot more about Doom than I do. I've only played two of the games. If we're being honest, though, there's only really three games that really matter.
Yeah, like Doom and Doom 2 are the same game.
Yep.
A lot of people were like, why'd you call Doom 2? It's just extra levels, but... Doom 2, same game. Doom 64 doesn't really count. Wasn't made by id Software, yeah. Bethesda, made by a different company. Doom 3, it's like a horror game. I've actually never played Doom 3. Yeah. I've watched videos on it. I've watched people playing it on YouTube. I've never actually played it myself.
Yeah.
And then Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal. So really just the original Doom, Doom 2016, Doom Eternal.
Yeah.
You haven't played Doom Eternal yet?
I haven't played Eternal yet, no. Okay. But I think the really... really crazy thing about Doom is Doom, like Doom, mm-hmm. and then Doom 2016.
Yep.
Very different game.
Yes.
Same vibe.
Yep.
Same feel. And you mentioned during the break, putting headphones on when you're playing those levels changes the entirety. Yep. It goes from having like even, so having your headphones on, you hear things you don't normally hear through a TV speaker.
Yep.
You can hear the background. You can hear like the creatures, you know, moaning and making noise and mm-hmm. shuffling. And then when you get in those fight scenes, that music picks up.
Yep.
And that is when it gets even better.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember sitting in my living room at my mom's when Doom 2016 first came out. I bought it immediately.
Yep.
Sat down, put headphones on, and it was epic.
Yeah.
Like it changes absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And then with Doom 2016, let's talk about the music and how like it was like a 1-to-1. You went from 8-bit soundtracks that were like maybe like max, the entire soundtrack was a megabyte to these amazing songs that really kind of revolutionized what we have.
So Doom 2016 soundtrack was done by Mick Gordon.
Yep.
Mick Gordon had worked on a couple of previous id games, including some of the Wolfenstein games around that same time. But he took kind of what happened with the Andrew Hallschult and just put it on like steroids and made it wild. It's heavy metal. It's like death metal. It's industrial. It's electronic. It's just wild. He uses 7-string guitars, so a guitar usually has 6 strings. There are 7-string and 8-string guitars that add thicker strings, which make it deeper and thicker and louder and crazier. Very, like, the Rip and Tear song almost could be mistaken for, like, a Slipknot song, I think.
Oh, easily, yeah.
But, yeah, just wild what Mick Gordon did with that soundtrack. We should be thankful there was a Doom 4 game that was being developed for years before Doom 2016. Yep. Completely different game. It was supposed to be more like Call of Duty, open world game. Apparently the soundtrack was going to be more electronic and like dancey. So we're really happy that game didn't come out.
You can't have dancers against Doom.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Going to the gates of hell and fighting demons and like cyber demons.
Like rave music. I don't want to do that.
But yeah, the music's just unbelievable. I think the game itself's fantastic and great, but I think it was the music that really set it apart from other games.
Well, can you imagine if you played Doom without music? If you anybody at home who has Doom, I'm talking like Doom, any of the Dooms, turn the music off and see what it does.
Yeah.
It changes the entire game. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, again, game score.
Yep.
The scores make the games.
Yep.
If you have no music, what's the point?
It
energizes you.
Yep.
Why do you listen to music when you work out?
Yeah.
Because it energizes you. Yep. It moves you. And talking about the music for 2016, like Mick Gordon, where did he come from?
I don't know.
Okay.
He just kind of showed up. He's done a lot since then, but I'm not sure really where he came from, how he showed up, but
glad he did because
the soundtrack's amazing. It's funny that we talk about music and games and Doom. When the original Doom came out, it was obviously on a floppy disk. Yeah. CD-ROMs came out shortly after, and for quite a few years before we ever got mods and before we got the ability to put music in games, you were able to play music on your CD-ROM on your computer in the background.
Yeah.
So my brother and I and like all my friends did this, and I think people around the world would do this. You'd mute the music in Doom because you can control the music volume and the sound effects.
Yeah.
You'd keep the sound effects, and you'd put a CD in and play it in the background. And I used to play like Metallica Master of Puppets, like Ride the Lightning and stuff. So it was pretty cool playing that game with your own music as well. But heavy metal music and Doom kind of go hand in hand, yeah, right?
You're can't fighting demons.
You
in
can't
hell.
Play country music and play Doom. It just
you could try.
You could, yeah, have more of like a Rob Zombie.
I don't think. Yeah, I don't
Devil's
think it's
Rejects.
What, feel, yeah. I don't think it's what you want, but you could try it. Now, we talked about this earlier this week.
Yep.
The similarities between certain like heavy metal songs and the songs we find in 2016.
Yes.
So I hope you remember what you said.
Yeah.
I
so the early game, the inspiration was they wanted heavy metal music. They didn't have the technology. You couldn't put real music in. You had to use MIDI music. So Robert Prince created sounds, but a lot of them were inspired by or taken from popular songs. Yeah. So At Doom's Gate is very reminiscent to No Remorse by Metallica. I think it was E3M1. There's a couple of videos on YouTube you can check out. There's one song that's a complete rip from Pantera. And there's some other songs as well. There's one that sounds like Master of Puppets by Metallica.
But just
there's a lot of songs. If you look on Doom forums or the Doom community websites, where there's songs that sound kind of like Slayer songs, Alice in Chains, but they kind of took inspiration from popular metal bands and just kind of made their own MIDI versions of them for the game.
Which I'm really happy, as we talked about, like Doom or ID Software, Bethesda never sued anybody for anything they did. And I'm really happy that Metallica and all these other bands that had that opportunity to say, that song's really similar to mine, didn't sue it.
Like, I think being like a small independent company, and I know we talked about during the break that Bethesda ended up buying id Software, and then within like after Doom Eternal came out, so this was either in 2021 or 2022, Microsoft bought Bethesda. So now they have ownership of Doom Guy, and a lot of other assets that are owned by id and Bethesda. But I think id Software and that community of people being involved in it, John Carmack and John Romero, I think they knew how much of a relationship they had with the Doom community and the people who played the game, that greed of big corporate companies didn't take over. They made enough money. It was a small community of like 5 or 6 people that created this game. It made huge amounts of money. These guys all did well. There's a lot of merchandise, posters, toys. We had movies that weren't very good, but they got movies.
Yeah,
there were books.
The comics are actually wild.
Comics, yeah. And like Doom Guys showed up in a few other places, right? So I don't think they needed to gouge people and be like, hey, and do what Nintendo does, right? Like we've seen some pretty cool mods for like 3D versions of Zelda. There's even a Zelda Doom mod that we were playing yesterday, Legend of Doom. Nintendo would just shut that down, right?
Oh, 100%,
so I think the community and the relationship between the people who make Doom and even the new people, like Hugo Martin's the guy who's in charge of Doom now.
Yeah.
He has a streaming website where he plays the game. He talks to fans and fans can play with him online. And he's really good at the game and he's really passionate. He did a podcast on Joe Rogan right before Doom Eternal came out. And he was so excited. He just loves it. He's just a fan who got to be the guy in charge.
Which is what
now,
you
right?
want, though, right? So, that's the passion.
Yeah. So there's concern, I think, with now Microsoft owning it, that they might kind of try to cut down. But I think... Yeah. I think that it's all set in stone so much that they don't have to worry about those things.
Yeah. So Microsoft bought it in 2021.
Yep.
For $7.5 billion.
Yeah.
And they bought ZeniMax, which is like... ZeniMax Media is the parent company of Bethesda, which then owns ID Software. Yep. And the really cool thing is, speaking of like... We talked about, again, mods and all these different things. Fallout, you can get... They had this on sale for 0 coins. You can get the Doom Marine helmet. And the chest.
Nice.
And it cuts off here, so you're wearing like just the chest piece and like you have like little strands and you basically look like Doom Guy.
Yeah.
And that's like that's the kind of cool thing they can do. Mm-hmm. Right. So people were hesitant that if Microsoft bought it, then but we talked about it again, what's stopping Master Chief and Doom from being in like a Microsoft world?
That'd be cool.
You know, like have a meta world where it's you know, all the Microsoft games come together.
Mm-hmm.
That's really sweet.
And I don't know if Doom Guy's ever fought aliens.
I don't think
so. I don't think Master Chief has ever fought demons.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So that would be kind of cool.
Switch them.
Yeah.
And again, you don't know similarities between Master Chief and
and
Doom Guy. Like, they both, you never see their face. Yep. You end up seeing Doom Guy's face, I think, in 2016.
Yeah, in 2016. So you do see it in the original, right? Because the guy's face at the bottom of the screen, you see it. Which is funny because the artwork for the promo, which we showed for the game, and the artwork on the books, and the guy on the face, they don't look like the same guy.
Not at all.
And then in 2016, I think you get to see his face.
You do.
Eternal, you get to see it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
The main protagonist in Ancient Gods Part 2 actually is like another version of the Doom guy.
Okay.
So you get to see his face, but he looks different always.
Yeah.
So
he looks like a hardened space marine. And that's the weird thing too, is they're space marines. Like,
space soldier.
They are. If you look up Doom on any of like Wikipedia, stuff like that, they mentioned that Doom guy, there was lots of them. You play the first Doom, you see all kinds of dead bodies. There are all kinds of Doom, other Doom soldiers dead. You watch the movie Doom, which not the best, but enjoyable in some respect.
Now, if they did that again with The Rock, I bet you it would have done really
Probably better,
popular, but this was like pre-Rock being super cool.
Yeah.
This was like The Rock still in WWE, and like I feel like that was probably one of his first movies that he did. It wasn't good. Other issue too is like during that era, people would take video games and instead of keeping it the same, completely change it.
Yeah.
There was no imps. There was no cacodemons. Like, it wasn't even Doom.
No.
It was aliens.
It was, yeah.
Which is silly. Like, if you actually made, if Disney or Marvel made a Doom game nowadays, or movie, it'd probably be super cool.
It would be wild, actually. And I think that's the crazy thing, too, is they haven't given up on it yet. Like, there's you never know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Doom has survived for 30 years now.
Yep.
That's a long time to survive.
A long time.
I always forget, so it came out in 2005.
Yep.
The Doom movie came out in 2005 with The Rock and Carl Urban.
Yep.
And, it's no one else really notable.
Yeah. So, see, it's strange because coming out in 2005 is probably more based on the 2003 Doom game.
I think so, yeah.
Which was more of like a slow horror movie type game. Dark. You had a flashlight, which Doom guy doesn't need a flashlight.
No.
So that's probably why that movie ended up being that way, is because it's probably more based on Doom 3.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is just a quick mention before we go to our break.
Yep.
There's a game called Enter the Gungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Bullet hell, like Doom.
Yep.
One of the main characters is called the Marine.
Okay.
So when you beat the game, a certain character, you go back and kill your past.
Mm-hmm.
His past is on a space station where a hell incursion happens, and this hell creature comes out, and he has to kill it, and he kills it and gets a Medal of Honor, and they go, like, you are, like, the best Marine, and it's a one-to-one Doom. Like,
does he have a pet rabbit?
No, I never saw that. You never know. You never know. And that's the wild thing is like, look at what Doom has become.
Yeah.
It's 30 years later. It's still thriving.
Yeah.
And that's, are they doing anything special for the anniversary?
I think they just keep putting out updates. I know, like the PlayStation and Xbox version of the original Doom 1 and 2, they just updated it. They updated every couple
of
months and put out
a lot
new mods.
Of new mods. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Doom 2016 hasn't received an update for a couple of years, and Doom Eternal had a major update about a year ago, and I think that's
kind of it.
Probably it for now. Yeah. So
I'm okay with that.
They're keeping the originals alive, the mods, they'll keep putting updates. Like you said, there's going to be a Sigil 2 coming out.
Yeah.
There's always people releasing mods on the mod websites, but I think the big games kind of just go away for a bit. Yeah. So
and again, you never know what's going to happen because these games went away for 7 years and then came back with a bang. And then
they haven't announced a new Doom Eternal sequel yet, but we know there will be. Doom guy's still alive. They put him back in the
sarcophagus,
and I think he's sleeping again until they need him. But the good guys have him this time, so I think they'll be unleashed again, and the good guys will release him, or something will happen. But I'm sure Doom guy will be back.
And I. Again,
he's busy living in Fortnite right now.
Yeah, he's got his own thing going. He's got Fortnite. He's everywhere he needs to be. Did you want to talk about the other games that are very like similar, like Dusk and stuff like that, before we head over to the break, or what would you like to do?
Yeah, so like obviously Dusk was a huge. So I think before Doom Eternal came out, and maybe like right when it came out, the cool term was boomer shooter, and it was kind of like a joke. And now that term has seemed to kind of like go away. I don't hear it as much. Maybe that's just me. But
like, you also want a boomer shooter.
Yeah.
A boomer shooter is,
I think it was goofy, right? I think we were like, why do people want to play these old retro games? And then I think a lot of young people started playing them. They're like, whoa, these are cool. And then they started playing the mods. They started playing Brutal Doom.
Yep.
And they started seeing that, wow, these games are actually like really cool and fun. But yeah, I think that's a good thing.
The term boomer shooter applies to Dusk,
yep,
Proteus,
yep,
a Medieval,
yep,
Doom, Ultra Kill, Doom, the original.
Mm-hmm.
Ion Fury.
Yes.
Quake and the Doom Eternal.
Yeah.
But my thing is, I would rather play a boomer shooter.
Yes.
And just rip and tear and enjoy that.
Yeah.
Than have to play like some what they've been doing recently with certain games too. Like.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play a lot of those games. I've played Dusk thoroughly, beaten it.
You even got me the Dusk.
But I only have Macs. I don't have a PC, and most of those games are only PC-based.
Yes.
Quake actually just came out for the PS4, I think, this
year. They still do Quake tournaments.
Yeah. And that's just Quake 1, like the original Quake from like 97-ish, I think it came out. But yeah, Dusk's fantastic game. Andrew Holshalt, we talked about, did the soundtrack.
Which is terrifying, if we're being honest.
Unbelievable soundtrack. When you play in the like horde modes or whatever they call it in that game, and it's just demons and monsters and things coming at you, and that song comes on, it's just amazing. But big fan of Dusk. I think Dusk just came out for Nintendo Switch, or it's coming out shortly. It is supposed to come out for like PS4 and Xbox, but I know it's been delayed a bit. But
it's worth it, in my opinion.
There are some other shooters coming out as well.
Dusk will happen at 9:12 p.m. tonight.
And tomorrow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You have to look up Dusk video game. Dusk video game.
And funny enough, Dusk started doing mods as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think on Steam you can load them or download them through there, but they do have one on the Doom mods, and I think it's called Dusk. Yes, Dusk, it's called Dusk.
I like that.
And they've put like the guns and weapons from Dusk into Doom.
Yeah.
So you can play the original Doom, Doom 1 and 2 with Dusk weapons, Dusk. And I think the soundtrack's Dusk in it too. Yeah. So
it is on Switch currently.
Yep.
It hasn't come out for any like the big consoles yet.
Yep.
On Steam, it's rated 10 out of 10.
It's really good.
It like is
Evan and
really
I
good.
Played it.
We played it.
Yeah. We all played it in the office.
I got stuck in that sewer with the crocodile and the alligator, and that was pretty scary. Yeah, the zombie croc, I didn't like that one much.
I had trouble in the opening scene with no weapon and trying to get those guys with the bags on their heads, the potato bags, and then how to figure out how to crouch.
It's scary.
Keyboard skills aren't very good.
No, I like controller better.
And I didn't know about the flashlight thing until later, which made things easier.
It made it easier for me watching you, and then I could play it after. Yeah, but you know what? Getting into that, though.
Yep.
We'll play our break now.
Yep.
We have iDogma and then Rip and Tear.
Rip and Tear.
Really cool. Enjoy it. iDogma kind of ends as Rip and Tear begins.
Yep.
Natural transition. I hope you enjoy it. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. So just listen to the music and come back for more Doom Talk right here on GameScore, only on RiotRadio.ca.
Named him the Doomslayer.
Apparently not. Does not exist. Welcome back to GameScore, only on RiotRadio.ca and all of our other affiliations. I'm looking for a game that apparently does not exist. But Dan here is here to talk about everything I don't know about Doom Eternal while I look for this game.
Yeah,
so Dan, if you'd like to take it away.
Yeah, so we left off on the soundtrack for Doom 2016 by Mick Gordon. Doom Eternal, they brought back Mick Gordon. Lots of problems. The pre-order for the game, there was a lot of hype. It was supposed to come with a special edition. You were going to get the DLCs, and you were going to get the soundtrack because people were so hyped about the 2016 soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It did win some gaming awards for Rip and Tear and for some other songs, and I think the soundtrack as a whole. But the game got delayed.
I found it. Oh. It's called The Outer Worlds.
Oh, yes, that is the game.
There we go. Okay, yeah, we're good. Sorry.
So, yeah, the game got delayed. There was issues with the soundtrack. Finally, the game came out. The people who pre-ordered and paid the extra money to get the soundtrack on day one release didn't get it.
Yeah.
So the game comes out. The music is there. The songs are cool, but something sounds off. Yeah. The quality is just not really good. Everything sounds a little, like, flat and leveled out and not, like, 2016 sound. Mick Gordon comes out and says that they gave him like unrealistic deadlines. They didn't give him the proper tools to even make the songs. He was given like basic outlines for the levels, but not really any graphics or anything. So he didn't know where to make certain hits and certain things happen. Bethesda came out and said that's not true. They gave him these deadlines and he kept missing them. And they only required a few things from him and he didn't send it to them. So turns out, the person who worked on the actual sound editing in the game took the stem files that he had, kind of clipped some things together in not the way that Mick Gordon intended to, and then they mastered them really loud, which caused them to be kind of flat sounding.
Blown out.
Fans have gone in to, I guess, the PC versions and were able to like rip out the music. I guess on the PC versions, the music wasn't compressed. I think for the PS4... and the Xbox platform, they have certain things they have to do to the music to make it sound a certain way. Yep. So fans were able to get like cheat versions off the internet of the soundtrack, but 3 years later, we still don't have a soundtrack. Yeah. It's never come out. It's apparently never going to come out. Mick Gordon has said that the songs, although are pieces of what he intended it to be, that whoever worked for Bethesda and put everything together, you know, kind of mess some stuff up. But yeah, I think he was promoting a lot of what he was doing leading up to the game, and there was choirs of like 100 people doing like demonic chants, and he was using weird instruments and tools and recording sounds from like machines and stuff. And I think he maybe tried to do a little bit too much. So unfortunately there was a fallout between Mick Gordon and Bethesda, and he won't be working on future games. But this is where we come back to Andrew Halschult. We get the DLCs, we get Ancient Gods Part 1, and they bring back Andrew Halschult, and he does the music, and it's fantastic. It sounds good. It definitely doesn't sound like his IDKFA soundtrack. It definitely sounds more Mick Gordon-ish, but it still sounds like Andrew Halschult. He's more guitar and drums driven and less electronic, but they've kept in some of that electronic sounds and some of that industrial, like kind of German metal sounding to the music. And then Ancient Gods Part 2 comes out. Andrew Halschult's done it as well. And it seems like he'll probably be sticking around for a future game. I think he did work on Quake Champions score soundtrack as well. So he is familiar with Quake. And he has a good working relationship with Bethesda. And we were just talking in the break about where Doom goes next. And I think with the Microsoft acquisition, maybe Doom goes on pause for a bit as they make some money off of Doom Guy by putting him in Fortnite and putting him in the Android and iOS game that you talked about.
Yep.
They did have a Doom skin in Fall Guys.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Fall Guys. Yeah. Is that still a thing? I don't
know. I think so. I think people still play it. Yeah, sort of.
But
it's fallen off.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we'll see a Quake game next is a big major release for Bethesda, and I wouldn't be surprised to have Andrew Halschult back, because I think he he's good with the Doom community, and
he is.
He's definitely shown he can do
he
the
did
music,
do
so.
Quake Champions.
Okay, yeah.
He's only been making music officially since 2011.
Yeah.
So he started with Duke Nukem 3D, did Rise of the Triad, did 3D Realms, then did Brutal Doom.
Yeah.
And Brutal Doom was kind of like the takeoff, and did something called Bombshell, Rad Rogers, Dusk.
Yep, Dusk.
A Medieval.
Proteus.
Proteus, and then Wrath of...
Proteus soundtrack was pretty cool.
He did Wrath, Aeon of Ruin with Bjorn Jacobsen. But then with Proteus, he did it with James Paddock.
Okay.
Did Nightmare Reaper, I don't know what that is. And then Doom Eternal,
mm-hmm.
big one. Dusk 82,
yep.
which is a chiptune soundtrack,
yep.
but still similar. And then he did Tokyo Underground Killer, which I haven't played yet. And so Markiplier, not a huge fan of Markiplier, but he's making a new film called The Iron Lung.
Nice.
And he did the music for it.
Very cool.
You have someone who's only been active since 2011. So
he's
not
done a lot.
Yeah, like 13 years almost. Yep. And look what he's done so far.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. So I'm really happy we have him because he looks like he played Doom. Like he looked.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got like literally a big beard, like long hair.
John
like,
Romero's haircut.
Yeah.
He looks like he's a doomer.
Sometimes he has it braided.
Yep.
Like it definitely, and that's what you want though, right? Like for a game to be successful, you want people to A, care.
Yep.
And you want people to B, play the game.
Yep.
You can make the game all day, but if you never play it, who cares, right? Like then you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to know what the fans want. I think that's pretty wild. And just one thing I wanted to mention was if you look at Unreal Engine, Unreal Engine or Unreal Tournament is like a very much a more active moving shooter.
Yep.
But it's the same thing as Quake. It is just Quake, but with a different model. Like that's, so when you look at like what Doom inspired, it transitions into this huge thing. Like Wolfenstein 3D, Doom, Duke Nukem, anything that's a boomer shooter, if you want to call it that, they all came from Doom.
Yep.
And without Doom, you wouldn't have this. And the fact that you look at the first Medal of Honor, which isn't a crazy game, it was good for its time. I have Medal of Honor, I think, 2 for the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty and Half-Life. Half-Life's a huge game. Still is like cult classic.
Half-Life was also one of the games that used the original Doom engine.
So like id Software did crazy things by making this. And even Nintendo had asked them, how do we do this? Like, what can we do to emulate what you have? And I think it's pretty wild. So I really hope that this kind of keeps going.
Yeah.
Mick Gordon's from Australia.
Yep. Yeah, not to forget about Mick Gordon. I was just trying to look up. He did a song, actually, with a big band after. So since Doom Eternal, he's done a bunch of stuff. He's done some scores and soundtracks for games. He's been doing some songs with bands.
Yeah.
I think he might even have started his own band.
The one with Bring Me the Horizon.
Bring Me the Horizon. That's who I was looking up. He also did one with Motionless and White.
Yep.
So he's done some big songs.
That was
songs.
Last year he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the new game that just came out, Atomic Heart. I know there's been a lot of issues with the games. I know it's not the soundtrack. I've heard some of the songs on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they sound really cool. They're very much Doom-esque songs. I know there's, I guess, issues with glitches in that game, but I think the game's pretty decent, but he's obviously still doing stuff, so his career's not done.
His first game he ever did a score for was Hot Dog King. And he did the soundtrack for Borderlands 3.
Yep.
So like again, you have people who do like, these awesome scores. They don't really disappear, unfortunately. Like no matter whenever, and he's won a lot of awards too.
Yes, yeah.
He's won awards since 2006 to 2020.
Yeah,
he won the Steam Awards and the Game Awards for Doom Eternal soundtrack. Mm-hmm. He won the best soundtrack from Steam,
which is crazy because there's so many issues. It's not what he really intended on it. So it's pretty wild how well it still turned out, even though it's not completely finished.
It's weird that kind of stuff can happen, but people love them.
Yep.
It is unfortunate what happened, but again, Bring Me the Horizon, Three Teeth, Monuments, and Motionless and White are the three bands here, four bands he's done stuff with. And with Bring Me the Horizon, he did 6 songs.
Wow.
He did so on 3 of them, he was additional production.
Yep.
On 2 of them, he's additional production. And on the Obey with Youngblood, he did percussion, synthesizing, and additional production.
Yep.
So he did all kinds of stuff. That's what you want. You want somebody who doesn't fade away. And again, Monuments and Motionless and White was in 2022.
Yep.
So what would these games be? And what would these people be without these games? Like you could argue, well, you don't have to argue that. Andrew Holshall, without Doom, he wouldn't have taken off.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and then you look at Mick Gordon, and Doom was a huge stepping stone. You look at all the awards he's won or been nominated for, almost all over Doom.
Yeah. And I think there's still some ongoing legal battles between Mick Gordon and Bethesda. I think there was some concern that they didn't pay out some of the money, but I think they withheld money because he didn't deliver what he's supposed to. But sometimes you always hope that when people finally reach a settlement, sometimes feelings get fixed and things revert. And who knows? Maybe the next Doom game, Mick Gordon comes back, and maybe Mick Gordon and Andrew Holshall do it together, which would be a win-win for fans. But
they Doom it together.
They Doom it together. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's a great way to kind of play us out towards the end of the show, because again, what are these games with the soundtracks and the people behind them?
Yep.
So I think it's really cool that talking about Doom goes from an 8-bit game to this brand new, like, one of the best games that's come out recently. Yep. It's tough to talk about, like, Mega Man and because there's so many composers.
Yeah.
Undertale was one thing. It was Toby Fox, and that's just one guy who did it all himself, and it's his game. But these are people who kind of, like, built their careers off of Doom over the course of years. So this is probably, like, the best episode we've had so far, just to talk about everything. So thank you very much for being here with me, Dan.
Thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun.
I could have done it without you. I would have stopped at Doom 2016. So you've been watching the Game Score, or I guess Game Score, on riotradio.ca. You can follow us at the DCSA Media Hub, because I always forget to say that. You can follow me at my personal Instagram. Dan does not exist anywhere else. Don't look him up.
I don't exist.
No, he's just here. But I hope you enjoy the show. And you can check us out next week, because I'll be doing this again.
Yep.
Talking about something, possibly. I might even have Evan on. I'll see what happens. Yep. And playing us out is...
Mick Gordon.
Mick Gordon with The Only Thing
They Fear Is You,
which is classic Doom Slayer. Onlyriotradio.ca.